in divine presence this evening. It's marvelous that you have come. We appreciate so much the fact that you're here. We hope that if you're here as a guest of this congregation and you're not a member of the church here or perhaps elsewhere in the area, that you will consider the things that are said tonight in the light of that, and we hope to make the church a part of your life. That's what this sort of thing is about in more ways than one. But the ultimate issue is making God a part of your life, and thus the church a part of your life. And a part of the message yesterday or last evening was to try to emphasize that notion, that when God is a part of your life, that the church is going to be such. Now, let's tonight deal with an issue that I think is probably one of the, when it comes to religious folks, just talking to religious people in general, it's most likely one of the most critical matters that you can deal with in regard to folks' beliefs, in more or less getting on the same basic understanding with folks. Let me illustrate that from a simple point of view. Let's just assume that you have a child that they come to daddy and say, "Daddy, I want to go in the back of the house and get so-and-so." And so the father gives the child permission to go back into the back of the house and get so-and-so. Let's just say it's a baseball bat. And he goes back there and gets the 38 special. Or a 357 Magnum. He was not given permission to get that, was he? Well, perhaps the boy comes in and says, "I brought it, Daddy," and he's pointing it at the father. And the father says, "What are you doing with that?" He said, "Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't go get it, go get this. No, we gave you permission to go get something else." It would scare the parents to death, wouldn't it? In more ways than one. In the first place, in that he went and got a gun, and in the second place, in the fact that he didn't understand the basic instruction given. Or perchance, let's say we have a teacher who tells a student that the student can go to the restroom. So the student meanders out into the hall, goes into a classroom next door, and tears up the room. And comes back to the teacher, and when quizzed about it, says, "Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't do that." And it is altogether true that the teacher did not tell him that he could not do that. But again, the teacher did give him permission to do a certain thing and not a long list, and I might add a potentially endless list of things that he might decide to do along the way. That really is what we're talking about tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's just that simple. But the world makes this issue sound most complex. Hebrews 7, verse 14, the Bible says, "For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, out of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood." Did you hear that part? Spake nothing about priesthood. Most religious people of our day labor under the false impression that anything in religion is not wrong if the Lord has not specifically said in just so many words that that item, that matter, that thing is wrong. When you question many practices in religion today, the reply comes back, "Well, where did God say not to do that?" That's what we hear, isn't it? And it is this attitude on the part of religious people that causes them to see absolutely nothing wrong in many of their practices that are just as foreign to the New Testament and its authority as can be imagined. They seem to have the impression that The silence of the Scriptures, which ultimately is the silence of God, because that's where all we're talking tonight about, what if the Lord says nothing? Well, how does God speak? He speaks through the Scriptures. So what if God says nothing about a given thing? Does that give us permission? And I would suggest to you that a lot of people think that that is precisely what it does. It gives them license to think or do or act in any way, just so long as it is not specifically forbidden. And so, in a sense, you could say that it makes what God did not say more important than what God in fact did say. And so, in a sense, you could say that the floodgate for unscriptural practices and beliefs is thrown wide open, and there are unlimited things that people think it's fine for them to do them, when in fact just 50 to 75 years ago, in many cases, most churches thought otherwise. But this sort of thing has become rampant in modern religion. So let's talk about it. And let's start right where we started there in Hebrews chapter 7. You see, the Hebrew writer here makes an argument on what we might call the silence of God, or the silence of Scripture, which is the same thing, to show that when nothing is spoken by the Lord on a given matter, that silence in and of itself prohibits the practice. Let us now notice what Hebrews 7:14 says. It says, "For it is evident that our